There's a passage in an old Jewish book of wisdom that goes like this. Whenever the Jews on earth rejoice in their festivals, they give praise to the Lord. They put on fine clothes and pile their tables with good food. So the angel asks, "Why do the Jews pamper themselves so much?" And God answers, "Because they have a distinguished guest with them today. I am with them." In Advent, we prepare for the coming of the one whom God sends us. He came long ago in humility, a child cradled in a manger, and won for us the salvation which we could not achieve for ourselves. Now we await his coming in glory, preparing to receive the King of Kings. But how do we prepare? What are the preparations that we must be careful and diligent to make? And what are the preparations that are dispensable? Those are important questions. Over the next few weeks, as we prepare for Christmas, we will be working hard to make ready for the great celebration. What preparations must we be careful to make thoroughly? And what preparations are not as important as we anticipate the distinguished guest who comes to stay among us? In this morning's gospel lesson from Mark, we heard an urgent warning. Beware, keep alert, keep awake, for you do not know when the Savior comes to claim you. Beware, be alert, stay awake all the time. The time of his coming cannot be predicted, it cannot be known, so you must be ready all the time. Beware, keep alert, keep awake all the time. But wait a minute. Ready all the time? Who can be ready all the time? Think about that for a minute. Last week I asked the children about how they get ready for somebody who comes to visit them on a holiday or a special occasion. And they told me that you have to pick up your clothes, you have to put your toys away, you have to sharpen up your manners, and you don't say bad words. Think about the preparations you made for Thanksgiving this past week. Special occasion, special guests, whether you had a feast at your home or went to a family member's home. You can't be ready like that all the time. You can't keep your house ready or your cupboard stocked or your behavior polished and at the ready constantly, every moment. Our lives are busy. Our schedules are crowded. Our bodies are weary. No matter how committed you are to Christ or anybody else, you can't stay awake all the time. It's physically impossible. You can't do it. A woman and her daughter were out Christmas shopping on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, and just as everyone had predicted, the crowds were awful. They had to skip lunch because they were on a tight schedule, and toward the end of the day, Mom was hungry, and she was tired, and her feet were killing her. She was getting more and more irritable moment by moment, and as they left the last store, crossing the parking lot to their car, she turned to her daughter and asked, "Did you see the nasty look that that salesman gave me?" And her daughter answered, "He didn't give it to you, Mom. You had it when you went in." Never happens to any of us, of course. When Dwight Eisenhower was president of the United States, he once visited Denver, and there's a famous story, a well-known story, that comes out of that visit that is recalled periodically. While he was there in Denver, his attention was called to a letter in the newspaper where a young boy, a six-year-old boy with cancer, expressed a wish to see the president and to meet the president, the wish of a lifetime. Well, on that Sunday morning, a black limousine pulled up in front of that boy's house, And Eisenhower stepped out of his car, went to the front door, and knocked. The father, Donald Haley, opened the door to see none other than the President of the United States standing there. He was dressed in a pair of old, faded jeans, a t-shirt with holes in it, and was wearing a day's growth of beard. Standing behind him was his son. And the president said, "Paul, I understand that you wanted to see me. I'm glad to meet you today." Then he took the boy out to his limousine and showed it to him, talked with him for a bit and shook his hand, and the president left. Well, the friends and neighbors of that family talked about the president's visit that Sunday morning for a long time. But every time the subject came up, the father always remembered it with regret because of the way he had been dressed. And he was often heard to lament, "What a way to meet the President of the United States." Does Jesus intend to strike fear in his followers? That if Jesus comes to us, if he calls us, if he requires something of us, if he comes and finds us asleep, if he finds us not ready and not waiting, that we will be judged unfaithful? Does he intend to say that if we are not at the moment he comes to us, feeding someone who is hungry, helping someone who is sick, dressing someone who is without clothing, that we will be left behind? I don't think that's what he wants to communicate to us at all. There are some things, some external things that are important for us to be doing, vitally important for us to be doing. Feeding the hungry, caring for the sick, all those things we are about all the time as we are able. Those are, however, external things. There are internal things that are just as important, if not more so. Keeping awake all the time, staying alert all the time, as Jesus counsels us, is not so much about what we do with our bodies as it is about what we do with our spirits and with our character. To have within ourselves the kind of character that is always sensitive to those who are in need, that is always compassionate with those who suffer, that is always welcoming of those who are guests and strangers. This is the kind of alertness, the kind of awakeness that Jesus expects of us. We can't keep our homes ready for guests or our cupboards ready for a feast every moment, every day. We can't stay awake and serving all the time. It's physically impossible. But we can nurture within ourselves the kind of character that makes us sensitive and responsive to God's call, compassionate for those in need, always able to respond when God calls. It was 5:04 in the afternoon in San Francisco, October 19th, 1989, when the earthquake struck. The phones went dead. The elevators didn't work. The buildings swayed. Out on the streets, the traffic lights were not functioning. And there is where the most amazing thing occurred. For one observer reported that though there was panic in the city because of a significant earthquake, people were not jamming the intersections with that panic. Even though many were rushing home to make sure everyone was safe, still the drivers at the intersections were politely and courteously taking their turns, waiting, stopping, going, waiting, stopping, going. Nobody was cutting through. Nobody was leaning on their horns at every intersection. It was as if everyone knew there was something different. There was a crisis at hand, and they behaved differently than they did on ordinary weekdays after work. Cultivating that kind of character that is sensitive and caring and available and ready and alert all the time is what Jesus expects of us, what he demands of us. Not that we keep our bodies and our houses ready for anything at any moment. We can't do that. We are limited and mortal. But our character is a different story. Our spirits, that which comes from the inside of us out. Cultivating that kind of character is what Jesus expects of us, not only in our personal lives, but also in our church. This is the task to which Jesus urgently calls us, to be awake, to be alert, to be ready. You noticed, I'm sure, that on the front of the bulletin, we call your attention today to a new mission statement that has been developed here at First Church, one that the Council on Ministries put together over a period of the past several months. We have gotten ready to talk about it. And now we take our first look as a congregation at giving wings to the gospel. It recalls to us a statement that the prophet Isaiah made many centuries ago. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. And so our mission as a community of faith, our mission as the people of God, is to give wings to this gospel of Jesus Christ. And that term wings has meaning. The first of those meanings expressed by the W is that we welcome all. As disciples of Jesus Christ and as a community of faith, it is our mission to welcome all. All who come to us, all who are in need of the gospel, all who are in need of the saving message of Jesus Christ, we welcome them. The first task of our mission is to welcome all. It is our vocation as Christians to be hospitable and to create an environment of hospitality around us, so that in this community of faith, it is each person's responsibility and it is our responsibility as a congregation to welcome all who would join us. The old faces and the new faces, the young ones and the neediest ones. Giving wings to the gospel is our way at First Church of staying awake and staying alert to the comings of Jesus and to the call of God. So I invite you to join in this community. Become a part of it. Hear the call of God and take upon yourselves the responsibilities that the gospel places upon us. To give wings to the gospel, to begin by welcoming all. This is how we, as disciples of Jesus Christ, seek to stay awake and to stay alert to what God is doing among us and to what God would have us to do in his service. Amen.